I want to preach this morning on the subject, are you safe? And I'd like for you to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 18:10. Actually, are you in a safe place? Are you in a safe place? Look what Proverbs 18:10 says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Or my footnote says, is settle off. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower, as if you were running from an enemy and you ran into this strong tower and went up high and you are in a safe place. And notice what he says does that. It is the name of the Lord is a safe place. The proverb says that, but verse 11 says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city and is a high wall in his own conceit. He thinks he's safe when he's got money. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The Christian, the godly man, his strong tower is the Lord. But the people who have wealth, they are securing themselves in their wealth. They think that's their strong city. They think that's a high wall in their own conceit. But as men have found out in the last few months, that strong wall can be knocked down mighty easily and can come down about half. 45% of people's wealth went right out the window in the last few months. That's not a very strong tower. One good old cannon shot knocked the tower down, and it might have been their strong tower, but it's not a safe place. And in Proverbs, again, chapter 21 and verse 31, look what he says is not a safe place. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. When it says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, the horse stands for war. Some people think that armaments are the safe place, but that's not a safe place either. The place that is safe, it says, is in the name of the Lord. I think it's a wonderful thing to dwell safely. Not be in fear is a wonderful thing to experience, but apprehension, doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, that is the opposite. Jesus, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And faith can cause us, faith in Christ, can cause us to have rest and can let us sleep and let us rejoice and let us relax. So what I want to try to show you today is a safe place. The text says it's in the name of the Lord. And here's the first thing I want to show you. When we're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's safety. Look with me in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the last chapter, the last thing that Jesus said, practically before he ascended up into heaven, is this. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, you can't get more power than that. All power, heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. That word world there is the word age, not the word world, but the word age. And so he's with us. Now, actually, in Greek, what that says is go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Not in. He's not telling us what to say. He's telling us what to do. And we are to be baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why is that true? Well, look in the book of Luke, chapter 24, and you'll see that the reason it's a safe place. He says, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. One thing that we receive when we're baptized into the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because repentance and remission of sins go together. When there's repentance and baptism, after faith, of course, because the other one, Mark 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So when we're baptized into the name or into the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we receive the remission of sins. Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. And in Acts 2:38, he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. See? For the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 8:16, it says they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Acts 19 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So in the name of, even though he tells us, baptize into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these particular verses says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that's not a contradiction. He's not telling us what to say. He's telling us what to do. That the authority behind our baptism is to be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into his authority. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So baptize people into that name. Get all of the benefits of my power and my authority in heaven on earth by being baptized into the name or the authority of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So all the blessings of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of those blessings become ours when we are baptized into their name. We're under his authority, and all of the blessings of the Godhead are right there because we have that authority. Once in a while, I'll meet people who've been baptized, and I will say to them, maybe they're new people I've never met, and I say to them, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, 10 years. How long after you became a Christian were you baptized? And that tells me a lot, because if they say, well, it was 2 years after I was saved and I got baptized, that means that they thought they were saved before they were baptized. And I say, well, why'd you wait so long? Well, I just put it off. Well, who won you to Christ? Well, my neighbor did. My neighbor won me to Christ. Did he baptize you? No. No, he didn't baptize me. You mean the guy that taught you didn't baptize you? No. No. Well, who baptized you? Well, the preacher did. Well, why didn't your neighbor baptize you? Well, he couldn't baptize me. Why not? He didn't have a license. You got to have a license to baptize. You got to be ordained by the church and receive a license in order to baptize. Well, were you baptized by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you sure? Yeah. Well, if you're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, could that man have baptized you if he didn't have a license? Your neighbor couldn't baptize you. No. Well, if your neighbor couldn't baptize you because he didn't have a license, and the preacher did have a license, and he baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, were you baptized by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or were you baptized by the authority of that church? It was the authority of the church who gave him the right to baptize you. So really, you were not baptized by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You were baptized by the authority of whatever church baptized you that gave that guy a license. If I was baptized by someone who had a license to baptize, I'd be rebaptized. Why, George? Because he baptized you by the authority of some denomination. Baptism is not an ordinance of the church. Baptism is an ordinance of Jesus Christ. And the church doesn't have the authority to baptize anybody. Who baptizes people are people who teach the gospel, baptizes you, and then teaches you to observe all things. And you don't need a license to baptize. The apostles didn't have a license. No one in the early church ever had a license to baptize anybody. Anybody can baptize. And the authority of your baptism is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the safe place, my text says, where you're really safe is in the name of the Lord. That's the only name whereby you can be saved. Name means authority. If I arrest you in the name of the law, it means I arrest you by the authority of the law. If I'm a lawyer and I come and I say I'm coming in the name of the family, that means by the authority of the family. And you have to be baptized into the name, the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you receive all of what is in the God family or the Godhead, because you're in that authority and under that authority. And all the blessings that the Godhead gives are yours because you were baptized into the name, and that's a strong tower. But secondly, when we're baptized into his death, there's safety. Look at Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is talking here and he says, don't you know that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So, look at the first benefit of being baptized into his death. We have newness of life. What do you do with something dead? You bury it. And so we're baptized, we're buried into his death. So all the benefits of his death becomes ours. It's his death that saves us. It was in his death that he shed his blood. And when we're baptized into his death, then we get the benefits of his death. And verse 5 says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we'll be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We not only get newness of life, we are raised to walk in this newness of life. And verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. That's the third advantage of being baptized into his death. We died, we was buried, and we arose again to walk in a newness of life. We've been dead with him, we've been raised with him, we were dead with him, and therefore we're free from sin. Now that's a safe place. Baptized into his death. And we get all the benefits of his death on the cross because we've been baptized into his death. And thirdly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says this in verse 13. Here it says in this particular passage of scripture, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, and we've all been made to drink in one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Well, that's a safe place. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized into the one body. Surely the body of Christ is a safe place to be. And it's not of race. It's for who? Jew or Gentile. It's not based upon our classification socially, bond or free. And Galatians says it's not based on our gender, neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, I showed you a while ago when we were baptized, we received the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But look at this. This says when we were baptized in the one body, this is telling us it's not based on our race. We are all drinking of the same Spirit, and we are all members of the same body. And he goes ahead in that text and shows that every single one of the members of the body is necessary and has a use. Every member of my body, as ugly as it is, has a purpose. And all of us working together make up the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church, and so we are a member of his body. Surely, Christ's body is a safe place to be. But fourthly, when we receive the Word of God and are baptized, we are added to his church where there is safety. Look in Acts chapter 2 after Peter preached that fantastic sermon and they said, what are we supposed to do? And he told them what they had to do and repent and be baptized. Look what it says there He says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. George, it's hard to get people to be baptized. That's because they didn't receive the word. Those that gladly receive the word will be baptized. And they didn't receive the word if they wouldn't be baptized. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see, the New Testament is the ministration of life. 3,000 heard and entered into life. On the day that the law was given, 3,000 disobeyed and died. The Old Testament is called the ministration of death. The New Testament is called the ministration of life. And when we were baptized, we heard the word and were baptized, not the other way around. You're not baptized and then receive the word. None of this infant baptism stuff. First, you receive the word gladly. And then you're baptized. And then you're added to the body. Then you're added to the church. It was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. And so, that's a safe place to be. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20 and verse 28 says that he purchased the church with his own blood. Now, if he purchased the church, that means he redeemed it. He redeemed the church. That's what it means to purchase the church. He redeemed the church with his own blood. So we're blood bought. And all of the blood, all of the things that the blood of Christ represents and gives to us, forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, redemption, reconciliation, atonement, all the things that the Bible says the blood does, we received when we were added to his church. And the church is the bride of Christ. Not only is it the body of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ. And it's the bride that Jesus, the groom, is coming after. And if we're not in the bride, we're not going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're not going to be at the marriage supper to partake of the marriage supper. The church is Christ's bride, and he loved it, and he gave himself for it. And so that's a safe place to be. Not only the body of Christ, but the blood of Christ, the church of Christ. And then this one, when we were baptized into Christ, we enjoy complete safety. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says, when Paul is talking here to these people at Galatia who was wanting to return to the law, he says to them, the law was just our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're baptized into Christ. That other passage says you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. When we were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, that's a safe place. Let me prove that being in Christ Jesus is the safest place to be. It's the only place that there is safety. There's no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all of the promises of God in him, that is in Christ, are yes and amen. So be it. Unto the glory of God by us. Now, where's all of the promises of God, Paul? Well, all the promises of God are yes. Amen. So be it. Where? In Christ. So if you're in Christ, all of the promises of God are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you're enjoying all of the promises of God. You can't be safer than that. Look what he says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What's that? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you have not received the spiritual blessings of Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. So the only place to be the recipient of those spiritual blessings is in Christ. Not only that, in Ephesians 1:6, look what he says. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he made us accepted in the beloved. I made acceptable. I was a sinner. God showed his grace and sin in his son. When I was baptized into him, what happened? He made me acceptable in Christ. That's where I'm at. And that's where you're at if you're a Christian. You are in Christ, and it's in Christ that you are made acceptable. Look at 7. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Wow. Through Christ's blood, I've been redeemed. See the big black man on a slave block? He's there. They're auctioning him off. And someone comes along and bids highest and purchases him. And he walks over to the black man. The black man looks at his new master and goes, spits right in his face. The man gets out his hanky and wipes off his face, reaches into his pocket, takes the key that the guy gave him and undoes the lock, takes the bracelets off of his arms, and takes the things off of his feet. He says, you're a free man. I redeemed you. What's the black man do? Spit in his face again? Or do you think maybe he fell on his knees and said, Master, I'll serve you forever? We've been redeemed. That means to buy back. And what a tremendous thing. What did that? In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The price, the wages of sin is death, and he paid it. And he redeemed us through his blood. And what else? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, there's something else about it. Look at verse 11. In whom, in Christ, also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God, before the beginning of time, according to the first 3 or 4 verses of that same chapter, says God, before the foundation of the earth, had a plan. And the plan was for Christ to come down here and die on a cross, and whoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And to those who did receive Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, John 1:12 says. And so Christ purchased us, and what did he do? He also gave us an inheritance, because he predestinated that whoever does believe on him and obeys him is going to absolutely have an inheritance, which Peter says passes not away, reserved in heaven. That's what I have in Christ, an inheritance. 2 Timothy says there's an advantage of being in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I have salvation, and I am going toward eternal glory. Why? Because I'm in a safe place. I've been baptized into Christ. See, you believe unto salvation. You repent unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But baptism is into Christ. Faith, repentance, confession brings you unto. You're still outside. It's unto. But when you're baptized, you are baptized into Christ. You are baptized into his death. You are added to his church. You are added to his body. You are baptized into his name and under his authority, and you enjoy all that is there. Now remember, the merit is not baptism. Can you imagine having a great, beautiful cathedral, and all people can do is look at the beautiful, ornate door. Well, it's not the door that's wonderful, it's the whole building. Baptism isn't what we glory in. What we glory in is being in Christ. Christ is the Savior, and we have salvation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says something else that we obtain because we're in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says it like this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Old things passed away. Everything's become new. Why? Because when you are in Christ, you're a new person. You're born again. You're raised in newness of life. Those things that you did before you were a Christian are gone, gone, gone. Not to be brought up against you again. You are a new creature. Those old things are gone, and everything is made new. But here's one of my favorite ones. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says this about those people who are in Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. The word condemnation is judgment. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I'm not condemned. Like a man who is a thief and a murderer, and he is not condemned. There's no condemnation if you are in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, then you're condemned. In fact, listen to how the Bible describes in the book of Ephesians the person who is not in Christ. In Ephesians, he tells us what it is. In Ephesians, he says that at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope. And you were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, the law of Moses, having abolished us in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, one new man, and so making peace that he might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Without God, without hope, that's the condition of the person who is not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you are not in a safe place. You are in a very precarious position. You are just standing on the brink of hell, ready to fall in. And if you forfeited your life this very moment, you'd be lost. You would not have these promises. But not only are we not condemned, one more. Look in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, here's what the Bible says about us being in Christ. In chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Uh-oh. You can be in Christ and still be taken away if you don't bear fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You weren't saved to sit in a pew. You weren't saved to be a spectator of somebody preaching and somebody singing. You were saved to save others. He says, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. In other words, when the word is obeyed, you're clean. Abide in me, I in you. I mean, when you became a Christian, you came into Christ, and he abides in you because he gives you his Spirit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide or remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that continues to abide in me and I in him, the same continues to bring forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Man, you can't bear any fruit to God if you're not in the vine, if you're not a branch. If a man does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. If you're in him and you're one of the branches, he'll purge you so you'll bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, you're going to be cast out and burned. No eternal security there. But if you're in Christ and you let God purge you and prune you, you'll bring forth much fruit. Who brings forth fruit to God? Those who are in Christ. Those who abide in Christ. Those are the people that bear fruit. So look at those again. All of the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. We're made acceptable in Christ. We have redemption in Christ because of his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have an inheritance. We have salvation. We're new creatures. There's no condemnation. We're bearing fruit. And so I'm asking you this morning, I'm asking you, are you in the safe place of being in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? I'm asking you this morning if you have been baptized into his death and get the benefits of his death. I'm asking you if you have been baptized into his body. I'm asking you if you are a member of his church. He adds the saved to the church. And I'm asking you, are you in Christ? Are all these advantages yours? Were you once? Do you bear any fruit? Have you continued to abide in the vine? Are you going to be cut off because you don't bear any fruit? Those are good questions. You know, back in the days of the large, dangerous, beautiful, they tell me, prairie fires, there was a means of escaping the ravages of the destruction of the prairie fire. The farmers would plow away from the house. They would plow and make a circle all the way around their home, several yards away from the house. And then they would come a little closer to the house and they would plow another patch in which they would plant nothing all around it. And so you would see, if you was looking from an airplane, you'd look down and you'd see a great big circle, and then you'd see a bunch of plowed ground, and then you'd see some grass, and then you would see some more plowed ground. And so you'd see two big circles, one circle and the other circle. And then the farmer would light the grass between those two circles. And that would mean there was a plowed area, a burned area, and another plowed area. And so the family's sitting out that night out on the porch, and all of a sudden they see the sky and it's red, and a huge wall of fire is coming toward them, and it's burning and burning and it's coming fast, and you can hear the sound of it. There's a great roar as it would burn across the prairie until finally it would come to that plowed ground, and that grass that had already been burned out. And because there was no fuel, they were in a circle of safety. They fought fire with fire. The fire protected them from the fire that was out of control, and their house and their children and their animals and their barns were saved because there had already been a burned out area that protected them. Now, the wages of sin is death. And it comes to every man. But Christ died for us. He is that burned out place. He's already suffered the wrath of God so that you don't have to suffer the wrath of God. He is the stopgap. You don't have to burn because he's already died for your sins. And if you're in that circle, you're safe. But if you're outside of that circle, you're not in a safe place. You're in a very, very dangerous place. Listen to one scripture. This is in the book of Zechariah. The illustration I just used, Zechariah already used. For I saith the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. And it goes ahead and talks about Jerusalem, and he says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I'll dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I'll dwell in the midst of thee, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. Jesus Christ has already died for your sins. And if you'll get in the circle, he's already suffered the wrath of God. If you'll come into Christ, you don't have to burn. You don't have to experience the wrath of God. Let me ask you again. Are you in a safe place? Remember what he says in John. I keep thinking the scriptures. John chapter 3. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you do not believe in Christ, if you are not in Christ, you're condemned already. The fires are coming. See the smoke? See society going up in smoke? See this evil generation, this perverted generation we live in? The wrath of God is going to come. I beg you to consider whether you're in a safe place. Are you in his name? Are you in his body? Are you a part of his bride? Are you in his church? Are you in Christ? We're going to sing a song of invitation and give you an opportunity to come into Christ.